Are we really interested in the knowledge of the truth? We are not interested in knowledge of the truth. Are we really interested in knowing who Bhagavan is? Definitely not. Why? Because we are not. We will not be interested in the knowledge of Bhagavan or knowledge of the truth unless the knowledge itself happens to be the end we are seeking. We are interested in moksha, not interested in knowledge of the truth, interested in Bhagavan. Our interest in knowledge of the truth is because of its sambandha. It has this connection with the moksha in terms of the means of knowledge, means of the moksha, isn't it? So, again, Prashastram says, why self-knowledge? Because the problem is centered on elsewhere, then you need that knowledge, isn't it? The problem is centered on I. Your freedom is what now? Is in resolving the problem centered on I. The moksha that you are seeking, which is choiceless end, is in resolving the problem. And that problem is not centered on the world or on God, centered on I. Therefore, the problem centered on I has to be resolved, means, therefore, where you have to resolve the very I. That is why self-knowledge. But in knowing the truth of one's self, knowing the truth of the individual, you are looking at your own self as part of the whole Jagat. Okay, there is a whole, which is a cosmos, the universe, the Jagat. And you see yourself also as what? Part of the universe, which is an individual. So, what is the truth of this individual here? And obtaining as I. That is where you distinguish the I. And then, use through Dikta Shiveka Prakriya and inquire into the nature of the I, arrive at the truth of the I, then you resolve the I there. So, in resolving the I in the truth itself, of course, the I itself, it is not complete. Resolving the I in the truth simultaneously, not later on, simultaneously, gives rise to the enhancement of the vision that there is no truth other than that there is no other truth. So second truth, second parallel reality. There is no second thing other than the truth. Which means that is the only truth of every other being, every other individual, every other thing here, the entire cosmos. Which means, and that truth is not anything here, but everything else here is the truth. Everything here is the truth means what? You have to understand everything here is the manifestation of the truth. And in understanding that fact of everything being the manifestation of the truth is what? Understanding of Ishvara. And there, in that context, you also understand what? Not just understanding everything as a manifestation of the reality, the truth means, not just the forms, the names, the functions, but also the order involved in the everything. Which means there is amazing, wonderful law and order. That order also is what? Manifestation of the same knowledge. And not in that, the knowledge, and the knowledge which backing that order also is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge backing the order, all the functions, everything, all situations happen within the realm of the order, within the realm of the order, the forms, names, functions, everything. Isn't it? Therefore, all the three are here one. Knowledge of Ishvara, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of individual. The two, Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, Ishvara Jnanam. In fact, they are not three. One. This knowledge of the truth, which is knowledge of Bhagavan, knowledge of the whole, knowledge of the truth of the whole, or Ishvara, is in fact itself is what moksha. Because you see, the moksha has the very swarupam of the truth, and which is your swarupam, which is the swarupam of everything, swarupam of Ishvara, swarupam of the whole cosmos. Swarupam means, I mean, the real nature means what? The essential truth of everything here. What is the essential nature of Ishvara? The same reality. What is the essential nature of everything? Ishvara, the same truth. As an individual, the same. And what is freedom? Limitlessness. Freedom is equal to what? Limitlessness. Fullness is what? The very nature of the reality. See, one important thing what I want to say is, how to understand the truth of the individual is the truth of the everything that is here in the entire universe. How to arrive at it? You cannot see the truth being all pervasive, object as an object, isn't it? All pervasiveness of the truth can never be arrived at as an object. All pervasiveness of the reality, the nature of the reality being all pervasiveness, cannot be arrived at as an object. Every object is pervaded by, in and through, pervaded by consciousness, the reality, which I have arrived at as the truth of the I. How do you know that? How to say that the consciousness pervades in and through everything? Because are you seeing consciousness here? No. But still, consciousness pervades everything. In the form of what? It is the consciousness alone. You are not seeing consciousness as consciousness pervading the object. It is the consciousness which alone pervades every object in the form of existence. Existence enjoyed by every object is nothing but consciousness. Is there consciousness here? Of course. When this object enjoys the existence, that exists enjoyed by consciousness is existence. This object is consciousness, definitely. You can never see consciousness as consciousness in an object. It is the consciousness which alone is experienced as what? As the existence enjoyed by every object. And that consciousness, which is experienced as an existence enjoyed by every object, is not an object for you. It is the very you. Not the subject, not the object. It is very you, very swarupam. Okay, now the question comes, how to know it is the consciousness which alone is experienced as an object, existence, enjoyed by every object? How to know that? How to understand that? That is where mind becomes an important instrument. Mind plays a very big role. You see the greatness of mind, that is where. Even the consciousness is the reality backing the mind also. The standpoint of consciousness, mind is ordinary matter, isn't it? But still, the standpoint of, in terms of knowledge, when you say, how mind is always incomprehensible, inexplicable, subtle thing. But you understand by analyzing your own experiences you have, how there is each state of mind. Your experience you have itself is what? A state of mind. The state of mind and experiences which constitute, isn't it, are not two different things. That's why now we say what? The waking experience, the experience you have in the waking state, is called waking state, is a state of mind. So dream is a state of mind. So deep sleep is a state of mind where you do not have the absence of the experiences you have in dream and waking. So deep sleep state is a state wherein the experiences you have in dream are not there, or waking are not there. But that itself is what? An experience. Not having the experience of the objects experienced in the dream or the waking itself is another experience. There is no fourth set of experience. This is how we understand the mind. the mind will never be in one state, remain in one state, and that's called mental disorder, depression. We have to give sedatives. They had to put it to sleep. They had to go to the extent of giving a shock treatment also sometimes. The mind has, the proper mind means it has to be sleepy for a number of hours, it has to be awake for a number of hours. If you are sleeping a whole, all the time also, this is some problem. So the function, the mind is in proper order. See, physically, suppose heart disorder, kidney disorder, like that, mind also disorder. Mental disorder is the problem. Physically, the person looks perfect. But mentally not okay. Mental disorder is also is worse, the worst disease, in fact. So here, what we say, if the mind is non-functional, there's no way of understanding the existence which is not independently experienced. Existence is experienced as existence of any nama rupa, every object, in terms of nama rupa karma. This is what is jagat. Shankaracharya says, what is jagat? Nama rupa karma. Name, form, function or purpose. This constitutes, isn't it? So anything which enjoys existence is what? That existence enjoyed by everything is the consciousness. How to know that? Sati is nothing but chit. It is a chit alone is from the sat. But that is where you see Bhagavan. This chit is the home of the sat. This is a fact, Anji. Then you are seeing Bhagavan. Every experience, my God, is Bhagavan there. Then every object is Bhagavan. How to understand that? That is where you analyze this function of meditation. When the mind, then there's something called a deep sleep state, you can't use anybody else's mind, your own experience, as an individual mind. Then there's a deep sleep state. Mind is non-functional. Mind is present, alive. Mind is never dead, you know that. Mind is ever alive, ever present. But it can be functional, it can be non-functional. Once out of the body, it will be non-functional until it assumes another body. But inside, when it is in the body also, what? There's a time it is non-functional, there's a time it is semi-functional, there's a time it is totally functional. The totally functional state of mind is what? Waking state. When your identity is what? With even the gross universe. It's a gross form. Your gross body exists, and the external gross world also exists. And in semi-functional, the subtle, only the subtle body, identity. Then the gross universe does not exist for you. And in deep sleep state, there's neither subtle universe nor the gross universe. There's no universe. That is where we say non-dual experience. There's neither, because there's no knowledge that you exist, there's no knowledge that the world exists for you. Therefore, what happened? There's non-dual experience means the experience of the experiencer being not there, experience of the experienced world being not there for length of time. That is what we say deep sleep state. Believe that mind is non-functional. That means that time, why the gross universe is not there? Why there is no experience of the external gross universe or the subtle universe? Why there is no experience? Why there is no cognition? Why there is no knowledge? Use all the three terms, experience, knowledge or cognition. Why it is not there? Is the world there or not? The world is there. But the world is as good as non-existent for you. See, the problem, people think, oh, if I sleep, I fall asleep. Still, the world is there. How can you say it's not there? Hey, for you, it is not there. It is as well as non-existent. For you, for the world to be there, to have a status of being existent, it must be there for you, isn't it? Because you yourself are not there in sleep. why did the experience, the world may be there. The world may be there. Of course, you are very much there in sleep. The world is very much there in the sleep. But what is not there is experience. Cognition, knowledge. The vritti jnana, not the pure knowledge. I mean, the vritti is not there. Cognition is not there, experience is not there. Which means, if the experience is not there, even if the object is, it is as good as non-existent. Whether it is the self or the non-self, knower or the known, subject or object. The self or the non-self, isn't it? There's no experience means what? There's no there. Which means, what lends existence, when it is exist, it only the universe enjoys existence only when there is experience. When the universe becomes experienced. So for the experience, there must be what? Vrittis. Vrittis must be there. Only then when the vrittis rise, then the knowledge is there, becomes manifest. Without the vrittis also knowledge is there, pure knowledge. When the pure knowledge is there, where does the jagat exist? Jagat also exists in the form of pure knowledge. The knower also exists in the form of pure knowledge. Everything resolves where? The world, when the world does not shine also, it does not exist outside of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. No, when there is no experience of the world also, the world exists where? We call it unmanifest universe. Don't say unmanifest consciousness, we say unmanifest universe. The universe, when it shines in the waking, it is manifest universe. In deep sleep, when the universe does not shine, we call it what? Unmanifest universe. We don't say unmanifest consciousness. Consciousness does not become manifest, does not become unmanifest. It's always there. When the consciousness is recognizable, we call it manifest. It is non-recognizable, it is pure. What becomes manifest is the universe. What becomes manifest is the experiencer and the experienced universe. So, this universe when doesn't manifest, the experienced universe when it is not manifest, it remains as non-experienced universe. When the experiencer is not there, where is the experiencer? Does he die? Resolved, unmanifest. The experiencer is what? No, the status is unmanifest. The experiencer status is unmanifest. The experienced universe also is unmanifest. Where unmanifest means it remains without enjoying existence. Where does it exist? Not outside of the reality. There is no reality other than consciousness. Because for us, the gross universe, how does it exist in consciousness? That's something mind is thinking, isn't it? Whether the waves are there, waves are not there. Stillness of water, where the waves are there. They never exist outside of water, isn't it? So unmanifest universe or manifest universe has no substratum, existence outside of consciousness. That consciousness you arrive at how? Only as the truth of the subject, the experiencer, I. First you understand here. Later on, how do you understand this also? It doesn't exist outside of the consciousness. There are always the existence of the universe is what? Consciousness only. Whether it is manifest or unmanifest, the existence enjoyed by the universe is not outside of consciousness. Enjoyed by the universe is what? Consciousness only. That you understand by analyzing your experience. When there are vrittis, there is experience. Then the universe enjoys existence. and the vrittis are not there, there is no experience. Universe is as well as non-existent. Even you are as well as non-existent in sleep. You are there. You are not non-existent in sleep. You are as good as non-existent. Isn't it? In sleep, are you not as good as non-existent? Why? Because I don't know you are. Even though you are not non-existent. You are, but you are as good as non-existent. Why? Because you do not know you are. In the same way, the universe also is as good as non-existent. But there is no experience, cognition. Therefore, the vrittis rise, there is manifestation of consciousness. The vrittis resolve, there is pure. Then, what happened? The manifestation of knowledge. Oh, universe is manifestation of knowledge. I am manifestation of knowledge. I do not know I am. I do not know the universe is. That you cannot talk about when there is no knowledge. You have to wake up again to say, I did not know. I did not know the universe was I was. So, please understand, this universe, this is all-pervasive time, all-pervasive space, all-pervasive space, spatially limitless space. You don't know where the space begins, where the space ends. Don't know when time begins. This time, abstract, amazing. This time, this spatially limitless space, this time and space do not exist outside of your mind. No independent existence. So also all the elements, the whole jagat, it doesn't exist outside of your mind, outside of your vrittis. There's no jagat outside of your vrittis. Hamji says all. He says like this, he'll show beautiful, his beautiful long fingers, he has good samudrika lakshana. Now he'll show like this. Just to say mind. Mind is not here, but he'll say, whole jagat is here. You fall, knock off your mind, jagat disappears. Where is the jagat? Where are your enemies? Where are your friends? Where is the pain? Where is the family? Where is the beloved wife, beloved husband and beloved children? Knock your mind off, whole jagat disappears. Amazing. Again the jagat comes. So, mind serves as what? Manifesting medium. Antakarna vrittis serve as manifesting media. There's no consciousness cannot become the, will never be recognizable without its manifestation. But mind cannot even exist independently without the consciousness. Understand? Therefore, the universe shines means whenever there is experience, only then universe enjoys existence. Even you yourself enjoy existence. Even though you are of the nature of existence, when do you enjoy existence? There's experience, must be cognition. I cognition must be there. Therefore, whenever there's experience of the universe, experience means what? Duality will come. There must be duality when the experience is there. Experiencer, experienced, duality will be there when there is experience. Don't need to undo, never ever try to undo dvaitam. Duality will be there. Only thing is, this experiencer experienced duality when there is experience, because anything experienced is real for us. Therefore, the buddhi cannot see the fact of the truth being non-dual reality, being free from this experiencer and the experienced. Why? Because what is that truth without which there cannot be something called experiencer, there cannot be something called experienced, thereby there cannot be experience, something called experience will not be possible at all. That reality is what? Free from this Triputi Bheda. That reality is free from experiencer, experience, experienced differences, because reality is not the experiencer, reality is not the experience, reality is not the experienced universe also. Knower, known, knowledge is not there. But there cannot be knower or experiencer without the reality. So in fact, there is no experiencer with the form. Experiencer is a status attribute to reality from the standpoint of the experience and the experienced. There cannot be experience without the manifestation of the reality. There cannot be experienced universe without the experience. Therefore, what is that? Manifestation of reality. Which means that reality enjoys existence independently whether the experience is there or the experiencer, experienced world is there or not. But this, the experience or the experienced universe or the experiencer cannot be exist independently without the reality. This is where we understand what is Satyam and what is Mithya. So what is relatively real, empirically real, is mistaken for absolute reality. This is what everything is whole, fine. Only thing is here, this I actually, which is a manifestation of knowledge. So it is manifested, one of the manifestations here. But this, why should this I be identified with other manifestations? The I is one of the manifestations and the foremost of the manifestations, without which other manifestations are not even possible. Being there will not be possible. That I is mixed up with, identified with other manifestations. That is where the problem. Therefore, here Shastram helps you see what is. That is what Saddarshanam. What is. Sat means what? Reality. Darshanam means reality, means what? That which is timelessly. That which was, that which is, that which will ever be, that which alone is in the form of the experiencer, experience, experienced universe, Triputi Bheda, that which alone is in the form of the duality, the non-dual reality, which alone is in the form of what? Experienced and the experiencer. It's called Saddarshanam. So now we can say, I am means what? I experience existence of myself. The universe is means what? I experience the existence of the universe. I am means the universe is. I am, the universe is. And universe is means it includes what? My body, mind, sense, corpus. It includes all the bodies and everything else. I am, the universe is. I am, the universe is. Am implies what? Existence of one's own self. Am stands for, am indicates the self, enjoy one's own self enjoying existence. Is indicates what? The object enjoying its existence. So existence enjoyed by a free object is what? Knowledge manifest presupposes cognition. If there is no jnanam, table is, no? The table knowledge must be there, cognition must be there for the table to enjoy existence. So every object which existence presupposes cognition. If there is no cognition, you can't have the see object outside. That's why you see outside as much as you see inside. I see, therefore the world is. The world is, therefore I see, you cannot say. I see, therefore the world is. The cognition is, therefore the object outside exists outside. That is the big difference. I see this here, not because it is here. I see, therefore this is here. This cannot enjoy existence if there is no cognition inside the mind. Very important. Existence of every nama, rupa, karma presupposes the corresponding cognition. In the form of a thought, and that every cognition is what? Knowledge manifest in vritti. And that knowledge manifest in the form of vritti is what? Pure consciousness. There is no such thing called manifest consciousness. It is just the consciousness. But what is existence? Manifestation of knowledge. Consciousness. What is manifest consciousness? Consciousness. Therefore what? A is equal to B, B is equal to C. So what? A is equal to C. So what is whole jagat? Knowledge. All it is only knowledge. This I can talk repeatedly. I don't feel bored. You know why? I see this such a beautiful abstract fact. As I talk, I am in that only. And to take your mind out and then go to something else, to some sensory pleasure, some object, then it will go that way. Isn't it true? Mm-hmm. You should see as I am talking. All is knowledge. Therefore, what is knowledge? Brahma. And the knowledge, you don't see knowledge as knowledge here. That knowledge is what? In the form of existence of everything. Existence is knowledge. Knowledge is existence. So everything is Brahma. Everything is Ishvara. You have to bring in the vrittis. Actually, I wanted to... The mind will discuss again sometime, maybe. And then Namah Maharshi says what? He says, makes very clear... And this chit, for you to see this fullness of the reality what is, the whole, you can, seeing the namarupas karma, amarupa karma, you can resolve the namarupa karma in existence and see the existence as pure chit, consciousness. For you to arrive at what chit is, you have to what now? Distinguish the I from the non-I, non-self. Then inquire it. See, this I is just a cognition arising of a thought. It is not the physiological functions. It is not the sense powers. It is not the powers of organs of actions. It is not in the body, any of these things. It is just, without which all these things are not possible. And that I inquire into the ahamulam. Ahamaha Moolam, he says all those things. We did so many verses anyway, elaborately. You inquire into the nature of the I, then you, what is I is, where does it rise from, where does it exist, where does it resolve, if you see, you, I will disappear, resolve, in what? In awareness. You cannot go beyond awareness consciousness. How far can you push the wave in? Into that, resolve it. Where will you resolve it? Not, you can't go beyond H2O. Like that, there's what you cannot go beyond is what? Satya. Understand? And later on, understand that is always there. It is neither pure knowledge nor manifest knowledge. It is neither pure consciousness or manifest consciousness. It's just the knowledge. It's just the consciousness. Jnanam. Jnanam Brahma. But you who only say what now, in keeping with the experience of the world in keeping with the what? Absence of the, in keeping with the presence of the world or the absence of the world in terms of its experience. See, there's experience, always experience is there. Presence of the world also is experienced, object of experience. Absence of the world also is object of experience. Experience is not absent. What is absent is the world. What is present is the world. So the experience of the presence of the world, experience of the absence of the world is always there. That experience is possible because of what? The experiencer being there. There's no experiencer other than awareness, consciousness. If from the standpoint of the experience of the presence of the world, absence of the world, subtle universe or gross universe or absence of both, you say what? You attribute a status to that reality. Therefore we say what? There's no such thing called existence at all other than consciousness. If you ask what is pure existence, meaning of the word existence, go and search for the meaning of the word existence in any dictionary. The abstract sense, existence, is awareness. It is the awareness which obtains of existence of every object. But you can never experience existence independently without relating it to some form, nama, rupa, karma. If you somebody say exists, we say, you'll ask what? Exists what? No, I enjoy the existence. Of what? There is existence. If you say, of what? You will ask immediately. The pure existence is never available for recognition. The existence is always experienced or as of something. And that existence, minus Namarupa, I want that existence, then that is what? Pure consciousness. It is non-recognizable. You have to arrive at the existence, pure existence, without the Namarupa, as the pure consciousness, through its manifestation, through the manifest consciousness. Like you see your own eyes, in the mirror, reflecting medium mirror, I understand those eyes are the eye, my eyes. Like that. Even every thought is what? Your own manifestation. Every object is what? Your manifestation. When you say my own manifestation, where have you resolved your eye? The eye has been shifted from the body, mind's complex, you can say the whole as yourself. If the eye sense is very strongly sitting here because of the old samskara, then it will be very funny for you. A Mahatma can say, Aham Bhagavan. Aham Brahmasmi, he can say that. I am the Lord, he can say. Which means, he must, for him, I am the Lord means, for him there is nothing other than himself. I am the Lord, you are not the Lord, he can't say that. That means that there is a much bigger problem, isn't it? Okay, this is vision of what is sadarshanam. I'm very happy that I did this text. No way, I could express myself totally. My vision also, how I see it also. I'm very happy. Even though we just took it outside, this is what we need actually speaking. This is what we need to dwell upon again, again, again. Then. Like he said, as long as the Dehatma Bhava is there and this vichara also is required, once it becomes assimilated, then you don't, vichara also will be anarthak, nirarthakam. We saw that yesterday. It will be meaningless. Like what? No man needs to say, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. Because all day, it's assimilated fact that you are a man. You don't need to say that again and again. Like that, it is meaningless, nirarthaka. For you to repeat that once you have assumed this vision. But as long as Dehatma Bhava is there, this see, we have the vision, but still Dehatma Bhava is there because of the orientation. But how does contemplation help me to overcome the habitual error? Means habitual error is very natural. Just I am the body, Ranaji. that eye sense is so rooted in the body is not a janmas, it has been there. So now when you see the vision, the class is very clear. It's not that you lack the vision now. You do have the vision. But that vision should be handy for you in all situations, for you to be objective towards everything, so you to remain calm about it. But we have this vision, but which means it doesn't become handy, which is, that is why this repeatedly dwelling will help you assimilate it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.